goes a long way and a goal. Holmes here, it's closer. There is Glimmer, and that's three. Score is 4-0. Here again, 5-0. 6-0 together, that's seven. Germany in seventh heaven.
996 Luftballon. That hurts. What's the weather in Brazil today? Answer, no one cares.
I think it was the worst day of my life.
Brazilian coach Luis Felipe Scolari at the press conference yesterday after the 7-1 defeat to Germany in the semifinal match yesterday, courtesy of ESPN there. A scenario no one expected, but that just might shock Brazil out of its fantasy football mentality and into a serious focus on its current economic and political problems. With us now from Rio de Janeiro is Brazilian fan Guilherme Monsanto. Gui, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
I feel like I should be a doctor or something. Are you in need of life support right about now?
No, it's a sad, devastating day for all of us, but life goes on. Yeah, the country is mourning the loss. Like, everyone like feels like the loss of a dear one, but it's just soccer. Life goes on.
I mean, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I think of Brazil as one of the places in the world where you can't just say it's just soccer.
Yeah. And the nature of Brazil itself, because we can go easily from an excessive optimism to like this pessimism that won't go away. So it's part of our nature. And we like to say that soccer is the most serious issue among non-serious issues in the country.
What was it like to watch the game? What was it like on the streets afterwards? What's it like right now?
I don't see smiles in the streets. I don't see people wearing anything that remotely resembles to the Brazilian colors. Win or lose is part of the game, but no one thought it would be that hard.
All right. What about the motivation to just, you said, you know, forget about soccer for a while. Let's focus on some of the social problems, some of the issues that really are facing Brazilians, including, I suppose, the Olympics, which now probably seems a little bit like a big pain in the ass.
Now it's time to talk serious here in Brazil. We have presidential elections coming up, and we're going to have to decide the fate of our country for the next 4 years, which includes the Olympics. But at the end, we'll make it.
You know, I think that is positive. And, you know, I got a scenario for you. What about, Guy, just let's put in an ad in the paper, for sale, cheap, Olympic Games, we'll consider any city, Brazil wants to move on.
I think Brazilians would never do that because they're so concerned of what the world thinks about the country. Like, Brazil is in search of self-assurance. And Brazil was awarded the right to host the Olympics in 2009. Back then, it was a really strong and desired political achievement by then President Lula. But with the protest, which started last year, it became a burden for everyone. But I don't think they would go that far.
Well, Guy, here's a big Western Hemisphere American hug for you from me.
Oh, thanks for having me. And see you in Russia, 2018, World Cup again.
Brazilian soccer fan Guy Monsanto speaking to us from Rio de Janeiro. Probably the happiest Brazilian voice you might hear today, anywhere. All hemispheres aside, you have to hand it to Germany. And for the other side of this story, let's go to our good friend John Schaefer, who's the host of Soundcheck, a soccer maniac who also predicted that Germany would be in this position. He's also the host of New Sounds on our partner station, WNYC. At the risk of assaulting taste, I suspect Germans in Rio today are about as popular as the boys from Brazil at 1978 movie.
I'm not so sure how long that's going to last, though. If Argentina wins today and the final pits Germany against Argentina, you may see all those Brazilians back in the arena.
Guy was saying that.
Waving little German flags.
So what happened? That was a clinic yesterday. What the heck was going on?
You know, it looked as if the Germans had rolled in something disgusting before taking the pitch, and the Brazilians didn't want to get near them. I mean, it was just you had German players.
That's an interesting strategy.
You had German players in the penalty area, where of all places on the field you think they'd be closed down, and there was nobody, there were no Brazilians nearby. Yes, they put on a clinic, but it's easy to put on a clinic when there are none of those pesky defenders around to get in the way.
Do they have enough psychiatrists for the goaltender in Brazil?
For Julio Cesar?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, I felt bad for him. He was left all alone in the back there. I mean, the fourth, fifth goals, you know, he was clearly trying to do what he could, but he was doing it all by himself.
Now, is there anything you saw on the pitch that suggests, you know, that this play would be better against Argentina or the Netherlands?
Well, clearly Germany's not going to put seven past either Argentina or the Netherlands. I mean, this was a complete meltdown. I think what you saw was a team that came out – I'm talking about Brazil now – a team that came out flying on emotion and adrenaline.
And a lot of pressure. I mean, if you're hosting, it's too much pressure. I mean, on some
well, but
level.
Also you're missing your talisman. You know,
yeah,
Neymar is
true.
Out.
That's true.
Although, as I had written in my blog, I was more concerned for Brazil about the lack of Thiago Silva, who I think by far is their best defender. I thought that was going to hurt them more. But even with Silva back
there. Just Mr. Know-it-all. Just write about Germany, write about the Silva. Just like Mr. Nen-nen-nen-nen today, aren't you? And you also were right about this. We wouldn't be hearing much of this song as a result of the contest yesterday. You predicted on our show that if we heard a lot of this, it would be a bad sign for Germany.
Right.
Yeah, this is not a popular
tune.
We're
not
explain
the
background of this tune again.
The song is translated, the title translates, "The World Cup is Ours," and it was created by the Brazilians after their first World Cup victory in 1958. They sang it again in 1962, and sure enough, they won the World Cup again. And as I told you last time, if you heard a lot of this song in Rio and Sao Paulo and Brasilia these days, it would have been bad news for everybody else. You ain't hearing that song anywhere now.
Well, maybe it'll be great for the 40th anniversary of that song if they win in Russia in 2018.
They're still going to be... this is a country that is still smarting from a 1950 defeat when most of the country hadn't even been born yet.
Which makes you a little bit scared about the Argentina, if there's an Argentina-Brazil match.
The third place, fourth place. Yeah. You know, it's hard to get the adrenaline pumping for a third place match, but if it is Brazil Argentina, that's Boston, that's Red Sox Yankees, you know, that's Flyers Rangers. It's just a really passionate rivalry.
Well, to get you back on your mainstream expertise here in the battle between, you know, Beethoven and Villa-Lobos, okay, in music, what does it mean to have an all Europe final versus, you know, Argentina-Brazil in the
third quarter.
The
main thing it would mean is that a European team will, for the first time, win a World Cup when it's held outside of Europe, you know, in South America. That would be huge. Argentina went in as kind of the bookie's favorite.
Yeah.
There's billions of dollars
being bet worldwide on this. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think they're probably still the favorite, although a lot of people will be looking differently at Germany in the wake of last night's demolition.
Still got your money on Deutschland?
I'm still hopeful.
All right, John Schaefer, host of Soundcheck and New Sounds on our partner station, WNYC. Thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
We may have you back.
I hope so.